You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host. I recently heard a pastor say there are two problem people in the churches today, those who cannot laugh and those who will not cry. And there is a special guest today joining us who knows the importance of Christians being able to laugh and enjoy life. And his name is Lee Bayless, and he is a comedian, magician, entertainer, screenwriter, and we're glad to have him on this edition of Messenger Insight.
Brian, it's nice to be with you.
Now, Lee, could you talk a little bit about your background and your connections with Oklahoma?
Sure can. I was raised here in Oklahoma City and spent my whole childhood growing up around the Del City, Choctaw area, and started off, found a magic book in my grandfather's attic when I was about 7 years old, back underneath a bunch of spider webs and cobwebs in a dark, dusty box, and I picked it up, and it said magic on the front of it, and it kind of changed my life forever. And I asked him if I could take the book home, and he said yes, and it was a homeowner's course of magic that was written, I think, in 1926 by Dr. Harlan Tarbell. And so I went home and looked at all the pictures and couldn't even read much of the words because they were pretty large, and I started learning how to do magic tricks around 7 or 8 years old, and before I knew it, I was doing, you know, little birthday parties and the church shows and the Boy Scout groups and things, and kept growing from that and working my way through entertaining, and found out that there was a real draw towards people that are intrigued by magic. You know, once you learn the secret of it, they kind of lose the interest of it, so you never tell the secrets, obviously. But it was a real outlet for me because it was something that was easy and fun to do. And so I started doing that for a while and became pretty well-versed in the fields of magic. And then one day I was 14 years old walking down the state fair midway at Oklahoma State Fair. And, you know, they have school day on Mondays usually where they let all the schools out back when I was a teenager, and they would drive busloads of school kids to the state fair. And I was walking down the midway with some of my friends, and I walked past the Bozo Dunk Tank.
Huh.
You know where that is, where the guy, the clown sits up there, and you throw the ball, and he tells you how ugly you are, or how tall and skinny. And this clown started heckling me and picking on me because I was pretty tall and skinny. And so I started heckling him back. And everybody standing around there was kind of laughing more at what I was saying than what the clown was saying. And the guy that was standing out front that had the apron on his waist that was selling the balls, he came over and he says, "Come here, kid." And I said, "Oh, man, I'm in trouble again, you know." And I said, "Yes, sir." And he goes, "Well, look, my clown needs a break, and I don't know where my other clown is." And he says, "I'll pay you $20 an hour if you'll sit up there and let people knock you in the water and just talk to them." And so I said, "You betcha." You know, that was a lot of money when I was a kid. So I was a professional bozo at the age of 14 years old at the State Fair of Oklahoma.
How about that?
And every day after school, I got on my motorcycle. I had a motorcycle license, and I drove from Choctaw to the State Fair. And for 11 days in a row, I would do my comedy up there doing the bozo stuff. And as God would have a plan for you, you would never think that being a bozo would lead you down a different path. And they ran a story in the, I think it was called the Oklahoma Journal. There used to be two big newspapers in town. And they had a front-page story later that week about the local Oklahoma kid that played bozo, and I had a big picture of me up there and stuff, and there was a gentleman that owned the Lincoln Plaza Dinner Theater, John Lewis, just up on the north side of the state capitol, that found my phone number in the phone book with my mom and dad's address and called and said, "Hey, you know, I've got celebrities coming in every week and I need an opening act." And he was bringing in Carol Channing and Kenny Rogers in the First Edition and Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr. And so I started doing an opening act down at the state or at the Lincoln Plaza Dinner Theater when I was about 15 years old, and working with every celebrity in the country that was coming through town that time. So just by being a goofy little kid walking down the midway after picking up a magic book as a kid, next thing I know, I'm in professional show business. And I never sat down and said, "Hey, this is what I would like to do." It just found me and thrust me into it. And I've never looked back. For 35 years, I've been doing clean family comedy.
Now, that's an interesting way that God brought you into this vocation, and you've also done script writing and even have a new project going on related to that. Could you talk about your efforts with script writing and maybe some things you've accomplished through that?
Well, I find that with my doing clean comedy, and the reason that I do is there's so many families and kids that you can't watch television and you can't go to the movies without having so many four-letter words and vulgar profanity and, you know, situations that are just not right for a family type of environment. And I've always loved entertaining families and kids. And so I just kind of got upset at the movie industry. And maybe about 8 or 9 years ago, I decided I'm going to take a couple of writing classes and write from some of my experiences. And I won a film festival screenplay competition with a story that I wrote called Teenage Astronaut, which was a great family film that I'm still hoping to make one day. But it's a pretty large budget film. And in the meantime, I said, you know, I'd like to try to write something that has a little more of a moral message to it. Something that could be made here in Oklahoma City that could, you know, showcase Oklahoma talent, be done locally for a smaller budget. And so I sat down and, you know, after lots of prayer and thought, I came up with a really great concept, and I wrote a script I call Miracle by Christmas. And I wanted to write the next great Christmas film for Christians and for families with faith-based values in them. And so I, you know, have a great project, great script, and I put together some, you know, local investors, a couple of them, and I found a studio that has some funding that they're willing to participate with distribution, and I'm about 60% funded. I'm still looking for, you know, how to fill in the rest of the pie. It's really hard to get people to make family films. The Hollywood industry and the producers and the networks, they all seem to want to do PG-13 or, you know, R-rated films. But every time they make a G-rated family film, they make a ton of movie, you know, and even the, you know, Courageous and a lot of the films that have been done by the Sherwood Baptist Church have done really, really extremely well across the country. And so I just felt, you know, maybe there's some local Oklahoma people of faith that, you know, might participate or might be interested in helping make this film. And I thought, I'm just going to kind of try to spread the word as much as I can throughout the community and see. I'm only on a $500,000 budget, and the studio said they'd put up 50% of that, or $250,000, if I can, you know, locate the other $250,000. I've got a portion of that. So I'm slowly moving forward, but my story, Miracle by Christmas, is about a young little 8-year-old boy that his dad was a firefighter and died in a fire, so he doesn't have a dad, and he wants to go to a father-son banquet at school that's happening around Christmas, but he doesn't have a dad, so all he wants is he wants a miracle by Christmas, so maybe his mom would get married again, and so he would wind up being able to go, and his mother works for a state senator, and it's kind of a romantic comedy in a way, because the lady that works for the state senator, you know, the state senator's kind of, you know, sexist and has some really snide remarks to make about the boy's mom. And when the senator comes to his elementary school to make a speech in front of the schools, the hero of the show, Mr. Farley, that's the little boy's name, Farley kind of overhears the senator making some remarks about his mom, but the senator doesn't know that that's the boy that his mom works for. So when the TV cameras are rolling, the little boy asked the senator, hey, why did you say that about my mom? And he goes, well, I didn't say that about your mom. And he goes, well, sure you did. He goes, well, I don't even know your mom. And he goes, oh, yeah, she works for you. That's her right there. So it becomes a real, who do you believe, the 8-year-old boy who's, you know, doesn't have really anything to gain, or the powerful senator who's got the, you know, power of the state senate behind him. And there's a real good ethics hearing. It happens down at the state capitol. In fact, I shot a 3-minute trailer down at the state capitol about June of last year. You can go to Vimeo.com. It's V-I-M-E-O, Vimeo.com. It's a video sharing web service. And you can actually either type in Miracle by Christmas, or you can type in Lee Bayless, B-A-Y-L-E-S-S, and that 3-minute trailer will come up. And I shot it with some local actors and a local film crew, and it turned out just wonderful. And so I'm just praying every day that, you know, the Lord's leading me to make this film. And it's a difficult process. I've been working on it for, you know, about 2 years, and there's a lot of ups and downs, but I'm just one of those pit bulls on a postman's ankle. Once I bite into something, I don't let go, and I'm going to get it done one way or the other pretty soon.
Well, Lee, I commend you for undertaking this effort and also for trying to produce clean, family-based entertainment. You know, there's something about a story that moves us, and he who has the best stories wins. And it sounds like you've really hit on something with Miracle by Christmas. Again, listeners who are interested in finding out more should go to Vimeo.com and search for Miracle by Christmas or Lee Bayless. Lee, I want to thank you for sharing with us your story about how God has used you to delight and entertain people and also bring some levity to life and also some clean family-based humor. And we wish you blessings in this project, and we want to hear an update, too, as things progress. Again, that's Lee Bayless, Miracle by Christmas. Go to Vimeo.com. Lee, thanks again for your work and for coming on to Messenger Insight.
Well, Brian, you're welcome. And also, if people want to reach me direct, they can go to LeeBayless.com, or the direct email for me is so simple. It's just Lee@LeeBayless.com, and I'll be happy to respond to anybody that wants to reply. And I appreciate your efforts in helping promote my project, and we'll just see what God has in store. I've got great ideas and great hope for this, and I'd be happy to be able to maybe get my own miracle by Christmas.
Amen. Very well. Blessings to you.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Bye, Lee.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.